wish you, Lord, have peace one day. Wish you, Lord, have peace one day.
We've already spoken of the difficulties facing America in extending the dream of Martin Luther King Jr. and so many of the activists who made history 50 years ago today and believed in a changed future back then. We'll leave you today with two people who we believe directly inherit the spirit of activism from those days. See if you don't agree. Rashad Robinson is the executive director of Color of Change, and Majora Carter is the founder of the nonprofit Sustainable Bronx. Their spirit may be the same as those marchers 50 years ago, but Majora says it's the tactics that have changed with the times.
Whether it was 50 years ago or now, the bottom line is there are so many opportunities for us to advance the work that was started 50 years ago. I'm really interested in how do we continue the quest toward economic diversity, economic equality, environmental equality, and really bringing those to the table in support of people of all colors, and in particular, the poorest among us who have consistently been left behind.
You know, I think the assumption was 50 years ago that the civil rights movement set in motion a kind of inexorable logic that would include everyone. And so we would proceed from African Americans to gays to people with disabilities to other communities. Even at the time, 50 years ago, there was resistance to including the anti-war message in the civil rights message, to including the economic message in the civil rights message. And subsequently, there's been resistance in terms of including other groups, gays and lesbians, transgender, people with disabilities. What is the reason for that debate, for that resistance, for the slowing down of that inexorable logic? And how are those debates being resolved in your view, Rashad?
I think the debates are being resolved by the culture we live in. But if you look at this past election and the election before presidential, and you saw this rising American electorate of young people, people of color, women, gays and lesbians coming together and electing and reelecting this president, and doing it not just out of their particular silos, but using technology and communicating across communities. At Color of Change, we believe that when oppressed people win, everyone wins, right? The efforts for immigrant rights or gay and lesbian rights or rights for black folks, which is the community we serve, are not just victories for those communities leading the efforts, but for all of us. And we have to really work to empower the folks who are most oppressed, who are facing the most challenges.
What do you make of the notion of silos? And is it more difficult today to craft a universal message of human rights in the United States?
One of the saddest things that I've noticed about folks that are striving for any kind of right that they want to fight for is that I think we tend to get very involved in thinking about, you know, we're fighting for crumbs, as opposed to recognizing that, you know what, we can actually go out and buy the ingredients to bake a whole new pie. And that's where I think we kind of miss the boat in terms of understanding that we don't have to continually silo ourselves. Like, I do believe that every great movement that we've had a struggle for some kind of equality has always benefited everyone from an economic standpoint to a societal standpoint to a psychological one. You know, when the early settlers wanted, you know, rights to become their own country. And then later on, of course, you know, blacks that were enslaved were like, hey, there's other, we'd like our freedom too. And women were just like, we'd like that as well. And so I think it's really interesting that instead of recognizing that we are all in this together and that there's, you know, great support in supporting each other, that we will continue to fight amongst ourselves.
Citizens United basically opens the floodgate for money in politics. Corporations are people, according to Supreme Court decisions. The private sector is the engine of our growth and jobs and prosperity. We can't get government involved in that. That's sort of the Tea Party argument, the argument that changed Congress in 2012. How is 250,000 people on the Washington Mall today going to fight against that set of resources that the private sector has in its disposal?
Well, in some regards, I actually have something in common with the Tea Party. I think that there should be a smaller government in some regards, especially when we think about, or when I think about, the fact that the most effective and cost-effective form of social service is a job. So with that regard, it's really important that those who are striving toward social human rights and really thinking about how can we take this really bizarre place that we're in right now where corporations are people too, and how do we insert ourselves into pulling what's good about that and taking it in support of our communities. That's why when I think about where Dr. King was at the end of his days, like looking at the Poor People's Movement and recognizing that it was way broader than just rights for Black folks, and there was definitely the class thing going on there and the anti-war thing as well. And then it was really clear it was about the destruction of communities. And how do we rebuild them and, in particular, create more opportunities for economic diversity in them so that it's not just poor people, but there are people who are moving up and out of poverty as a result of very deliberate decisions around economic development, land use, housing, and really building the kind of communities where people can grow and prosper.
So are you talking about a march on not Washington this time, 50 years later and 50 years in the future, but a continual march on shareholders' meetings, opening corporate democracy, modifying corporate governance, opening the economy?
Absolutely. You know, the March on Washington 50 years ago was a smart strategic tool to advance a certain set of legislation that people felt like if in the fierce urgency of now and A. Philip Randolph and Bayard Rustin and the other organizers felt like they needed this strategy at that moment. 50 years later, we have to have new strategies. We live in a very different world. We live in a world where we don't have to march on Washington to reach our representatives. And we have a tremendous amount of tools at our disposal, both from a technological perspective, but we also live in a news cycle that's incredibly quick, where putting all the resources behind future marches over and over again may not have the same type of return on our investment. And so for us at Color of Change, when we think about what's happening in the world every single day and we try to transfer those moments into movements using digital technology, we need to, you know, celebrate and remember things like the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, while at the same time thinking really big and aspirational about how do we use technology, how do we use storytellers, like the stories of the Dreamers or the Marriage Equality Movement or the Dream Defenders who are occupying the Tallahassee State House. All of these things have to be part of our toolbox if we're going to, you know, have the same type of successes that they had 50 years ago.
I get it that both of you have kind of had it a little bit with symbols, as emotionally involved as you are with this 50th anniversary.
Yeah, I'm a little too old and a little too jaded to focus too much on symbols itself. What I am is incredibly hopeful about what the future holds in terms of seeing, you know, we had this incredible group of people 50 years ago who laid a foundation for what we can do. And I'm just really grateful that I, among many, many others, are working to create the kind of future that is going to make life better for folks.
Majora Rajad, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Majora Carter is the founder of the nonprofit Sustainable Bronx, and Rashad Robinson is the executive director of Color of Change.